Merit is a concept that a lot of Westerners have trouble warming up to, which is ironic. Over in Southeast Asia, it's the warm-hearted part of Buddhism. For most people, it's their first experience of the Dharma, making merit together with the family. You know how in horror films, they like to start out with a very ordinary group of people doing something pleasant so that the horror becomes a big contrast. Well, often horror films in Thailand will start with a family going to the monastery to make merit. Everybody's happy and together doing something that's really good. They feel good about it. And then when the horror comes, that makes it even more horrible. That's the part of the Buddhist teachings that people warm up to the most. Part of the problem here, of course, may be simply the English translation of the word punya as merit. Sounds too calculating. So we could try other translations. You look at the way the word functions in the Pali Canon, and often it's the opposite of evil, so it's goodness. When you're generous, when you're virtuous, when you develop thoughts of universal goodwill, it's a form of goodness. And the Buddha himself offers another translation when he talks about how acts of merit are another word for happiness. So the happiness that comes from goodness. But even with the new words, when you look at what the Buddha has to say about goodness and merit, and practicing them as a skill, that goes against the grain with a lot of people. They like to think of goodness and merit as being spontaneous, with no calculation. And here the Buddha's talking about developing these things as a skill, thinking about your generosity, thinking about your motivation, thinking about your gift, thinking about who you want to give it to. Putting extra thought into your precepts, extra thought into what's the best way to develop goodwill for all beings. And it is very much a skill. And if we don't like the idea of happiness or goodness as a skill, we're placing a huge block in our way, because that's what the practice is all about. Happiness is a skill. It is possible to approach it as a skill. If you don't want it to be a skill, then you're placing a huge limitation on yourself. Happiness then becomes something that's random. Some people like the idea that when happiness comes, it's totally unearned, totally unexpected. That adds the touch of grace, but also adds the touch of arbitrariness. There was a book I was given when I was a teenager, Cosmic Consciousness, the first book of comparative religion I ever read. And the author talks about his experience of cosmic consciousness, and he goes through different religions and finds evidence that all the great religions have had people who've had moments of cosmic consciousness when everything opened up and they saw the oneness of the world and their belonging to that oneness. And he emphasized the fact that it was always spontaneous. He talks about how Buddhism cultivated cosmic consciousness, at least that's what he thought. And he didn't like the idea that it was being cultivated. He said it was too artificial. The grace was part of the wonder. But again, that's placing a huge limitation on human beings, that we have no way of approaching the question of happiness in a skillful way, or making it a skill, or having it something that's really reliable. So learn to think about happiness as a skill, as a positive thing. One of the other objections to the concept of merit or goodness as it seems to run counter to a lot of the higher teachings. Higher teachings are about letting go, no self or not self, whereas this all seems to be about grabbing, acquiring, gaining, accumulating for oneself. And being impatient, we want to go straight to the top, so we don't want to bother with what we think may be lower practices. But as the Buddha said, if you don't cultivate merit, you're not going to understand the higher practices. You're not going to have the foundation for them. Because after all, acts of merit, generosity, virtue, developing universal goodwill, that's the first answer to the Buddha's question that he says lies at the beginning of discernment, wisdom. What, when I do it, will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? And think about the wisdom there. When you see that happiness is going to depend on your actions, long-term is possible, and it is better than short-term. But as you engage in acts of merit, you find you learn other lessons as well. It teaches you your power to shape your world to begin with. You notice as you observe the precepts, you become a different person. The world around you becomes a different world. When you're generous, the mind becomes a lot more spacious. And again, you find yourself with better people, with a better relationship to other people. And you also get lessons in what the Buddha calls becoming, how you shape your identity and how you shape your world through your actions. And a lot of it has to do with your imagination. In some ways we see this most clearly in generosity because of the different forms of merit-making, goodness-making, that has the biggest, offers the biggest range for you to be creative. You can come up with all kinds of ways of being creative, being generous. And the Buddha encourages you, he says, give where you feel inspired, where you feel it would do the most good. And so there's a wide range of gifts that would be appropriate, people would be appropriate to give with. He basically says, if you feel inspired to give to anybody, don't let anybody get in the way. But then again, you have to think about it. This is going to be a skill, because we all have limited resources, limited time. So you have to think about where you get the best results for your generosity. This is when it turns into a skill. That's where the Buddha has you think about your motivation, why you're giving, what you expect to get out of it. The lowest, of course, is just thinking, I'm going to get this back with interest. The highest is, as he says, it's an ornament for the mind. Something makes the mind beautiful. And there are many gradations in between. In terms of the recipient, you want to give to someone who's free of a passion, aversion, or delusion, or someone who's working on the path. And as far as the gift itself, you want to give in season, something that's appropriate, something that doesn't harm you or anybody else in giving. And this is where it becomes a skill, as you think about these things, think about their implications. Virtue exercises your imagination and learning how to be empathetic. Say you've taken the precept against killing, and you've got pests in the house. If they're ants, you have to learn how to think like an ant. Cockroaches, you have to learn how to think like a cockroach. What is it that's attracting them? And how can you attract them away? The practice of goodwill is also an exercise in your imagination. Realize that you can have goodwill for people you really don't like. And those are the ones you have to have the most goodwill for. Because after all, if you can't have goodwill for them, you're probably going to do something unskillful around them, to them. And so as your own protection, you've got to exercise extra goodwill. Remind yourself of what that means. Their happiness is going to come from their actions, too. So you hope that they will try to act in ways that will lead to long-term welfare and happiness. If there's any way you could contribute to that, inspire them in that direction, go ahead. If not, that's when you have to develop equanimity. But you still mean them no harm. That changes our relationship to the people around us in pretty radical ways, because a lot of times we treat the people we like well, and the people we don't like, we don't treat them well. We have to learn how to imagine ourselves as different people. Because after all, they are Brahma Viharas. Goodwill, compassion for all. We're lifting our minds, making our minds more expansive. And it's in this way that happiness does become a skill. Now, when you're the recipient of someone's merit, someone's generosity, remember, they're doing that for their own happiness, which is why the proper response is not thank you. It's more appreciation, approval, that they've chosen such a wise way of looking for happiness. You express your admiration. So it's a very different dynamic from the way we normally live. But here at the monastery, we're living in what can be called an economy of gifts. Nobody's doing anything as part of a transaction. It's all people voluntarily trying to develop their merit, trying to develop their goodness, trying to develop their happiness through their goodness. And so we express appreciation for one another's goodness. And when we've done something really good, we can think about dedicating it to people who passed away. If they have any way of knowing, they can express their approval, their appreciation, their admiration. That becomes their goodness. That lifts their minds as well. There's someone who's done good and someone who's thinking about them. So when you look for happiness this way, you are creating a different kind of world around you. And that's a great lesson in wisdom. Because remember, the ultimate expression of wisdom in the Buddhist teachings is the Four Noble Truths. We're not just here to say, oh, things are impermanent, suffering, not self. Let's just give up on them. Even though they have those characteristics, still we can create something really of solid worth out of them. We can create this as part of the path. Making merit is not the whole path, but it gets you started. Dedicating merit reminds you that you're not the only person who benefits from your being on the path. So try to warm your heart around this practice. Because it does offer a lot of warmth. In those horror films in Thailand, the film usually ends with the family going back to the monastery after the horror has ended. They're back making merit again. And all is right with the world when people do that. Now, we may not have the whole world making merit, but we can start with our corner. And that's our expression of the power of our ability to act, to choose, to try to find happiness in a way that is skillful. And do our best to master happiness as a skill.